Praise God. Now, Stephen had to clarify, because when he went like this big, Adriana started going. And we said, no, Adriana, he was just kidding. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. And how about Stephen takes off his hat and it looks the same. It's all like perfect hair, not even one hair moving. I was like, I thought it was going to be all messed up. Yeah. There you go. He's prepared. My hair looks the same too, that's right. Praise God. Welcome to Christ Community Church. I pray you guys had a blessed Sunday morning. Got your fill of burritos and baked goods in the back, but really it just it really is a blessing. Yeah, I love that about the church. Somebody just says, oh, I'm going to bake, I'm going to bring something, and that's, you know, it's funny, when we did a worship night, I think it was like Christmas time, and I think I shared this with you guys, the Spanish pastor for one of the churches for the Vineyard came over. He's, oh, you know, I love the fellowship. And he always says, the Spanish church has better fellowship. He says, convive mejor, because it's small, it's intimate, we know each other, how's everybody doing? So thank you guys again just for being part of our C3 family. And, you know, if God puts it in you to just bless the church, do it, right? You don't need our permission, just do it. If you want to cook me a steak, just do it, you know, invite me over. Like, God puts it in your heart to take me out to dinner, just do it. I'm kidding. And you guys already know, right? We love Jesus. We don't take ourselves that serious. We're very casual. And my wife even forgot to tell me to put on my sweater, because I was wearing the blue shirt that makes me look like a sausage. And then nobody told me. Like, I was like, oh, I forgot to put on my shirt. This other one's too fitted. Normally she tells me when I leave the house, she's like, that one's no bed. That one's sausage status. Take it off. She doesn't use that. That's like the way my brother and I speak. So I had to do a wardrobe change, something less sausage-like. But what I was saying is, we don't take ourselves that serious, right? Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus and His goodness and His grace and His mercy and the power of His Word. Amen? And so it's just a blessing to be able to do life with you all and to do what God has called us to do together, which is to know Jesus and make Him known. And get into His Word and be an encouragement to each other. Amen? Pray you guys all had a really awesome Resurrection Sunday. How'd you guys spend it? A lot of barbecues, a lot of family. I was exhausted. You know, like, Jesus was resurrected, and because He's resurrected, we have reason to celebrate. But a lot of chickens and a lot of pigs and a lot of cows had to die because of Jesus' resurrection, because there was a lot of barbecue going on. I don't know about you guys, but I had a blessed time. I was exhausted, but I have a lot, so much to celebrate because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Amen? So today's message is a follow-up, is a continuation, right? Because if you guys read the Gospels, you guys know that it didn't just end there. It doesn't end at Luke 24 or John 20, right? There's more that happens afterwards. So today's message is called Road Trip with Jesus. Road Trip with Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? Road Trip with Jesus. How many of you guys have had, you know, you guys probably have had some epic road trips, yeah? Now, that should be a topic of, like, one of the things that we talk about at Next Fellow, epic road trips, right? So for us, as I was putting the message together, we have a couple, right? When I was as a family, we did a small one, and actually it was a pretty big one. It was a 21-day road trip down to El Salvador. Right? It took us 7 days to get there in a van. Let me say that again. 7 days to get there. And it was an awesome trip. I remember a lot. It's funny, my brother's not here, but he was there with me. And one of the first nights, we were in Arizona, and my dad's like, the two of you guys have to stay up and watch all the vehicles, make sure nobody, you know, we were at a rest stop. And funny, the rest stop was like 2 miles away from a prison, right? So the only thing you could see in the desert was the prison. And I was like, whose genius idea was to make? And so, like, you know, I was 12. And so your imagination's going crazy. Like, oh, there's a prisoner who's going to escape, going to try to get us. So my brother and I are, like, responsible to watch over all the cars. And the reason why I was hoping my brother was going to be in here is, like, we're like, okay, we got it, Dad. Yes, you got it right away. I fell asleep in like 10 minutes. And my brother's all mad. He's like, dude, get up. And I couldn't, right? Then I remember from that trip, we're going down through, how many of you guys have driven through Mexico? You guys, have you done that trip? It's, number one, it's long. It's rough. You get into some spaces where, like, where's the road, right? Back then, it's probably better now. But then you get pulled over, too, by the federales. You guys remember that? And that's scary, right? They pulled us over at midnight, 12:30 in the morning. We're coming down the Gulf side of it. They pull you out at gunpoint, right? Get out of the car. We're going to search everything. And I remember just kind of being traumatized. My sister was with Miss Elvia. And then I remember just all kinds of stories, right? There was a time when my mom remembers too. On the way down, actually before we got to Mexico, in El Paso, it started snowing. We didn't have any chains, so coming down one of the mountains, the van spun around 3 times. I'm telling you guys, it was a crazy trip. But Jesus was with us every step of the way, right? And I remember, this is a true story, as the van is spinning around, doesn't life slow down when things like that happen? As the van is spinning, I hear my mom praying. We also hear her open the door to try to jump out of the car. We're like, what are you doing? Like, that's not... Yeah. So, we've had some epic road trips, right? Today we're going to talk a little bit about some other folks that had an epic road trip with Jesus, but they didn't know that he was there, right? So today we're going to be spending some time in Luke chapter 24 and learn all about this road trip that we're talking about. And it's, you guys are probably very familiar with it. It's on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus accompanies two folks that didn't know that he was there. But let's jump into the scripture. Amen? All right. We're going to be in Luke 24, and we're going to start in verse 13. Now it says, now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting him who does not know the things that had happened there in these days? What things? He asked. This is Jesus. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. Before God and all the people, the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since this all took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as a woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, how foolish you are, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have said. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were our hearts not burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those staying with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told of what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. Awesome. That's a really cool story. That, to me, it's like, there's just so much things that are happening, right? It's not just like Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. There's a lot of activity that's happened. Imagine there's a lot of confusion. And so these two followers of Jesus are walking along the road, right? They're leaving Jerusalem. And you can see as Jesus comes along that their face is what? Are they happy? Their face is what? Downcast. They're like, oh man. You know what? How about you guys? We have some very big sports fans in here, huh? And your team doesn't always win. Right? Never. Somebody said, they never win. And even when you hope, you have these high hopes, right? You're like, oh, I think this is the year, or this and that. And then when they lose, they're like, oh, right. I always tell you guys, I'm a Bills fan, my brother's a Bengals fan. We're always losing, right? But we have Jesus. That's it. We're always excited in that. But the context of this passage, right, is it's still Easter Sunday, still Resurrection Sunday. But there's a lot of stuff that's going on. And you can see that they're very disappointed in what's going on, what's happened. But let's go ahead and bring up the map real quick of where they're walking. Because I always say, listen, it sticks better in the brain when you know what's happening, right? Because you can actually see it. So here's Jerusalem, where all the activities have happened. And you guys remember they were all gathered there for the what? The Passover. And at that time, on that Thursday and Friday, right? Passover was Thursday. On Friday is when Jesus was crucified. You guys remember that? So it's now Sunday. They're leaving, right? And they're walking to Emmaus. And how far was it? You guys remember? I'm going to give you guys a hint. It's in verse 13. It says Emmaus was about 7 miles, right? That's how I say, man, the people at that time must have been fit. They're not like us, looking like sausages with our shirts on. They were walking everywhere, right? That wasn't that funny, Dia. No, it was. It was good. How far is Jerusalem to Emmaus, right? I would say in practical terms, from here to Reedley, 12 miles, just so you guys know. From Reedley to Orange Cove, exactly 7 miles. Right, so imagine it's like, oh, I'm going home. Where are you walking to? I'm going to OC. All the way from Reedley. You're like, you're crazy, right? Has anybody ever done that walk? I always, like, I grew up in Orange Cove. So I was like, maybe I should do that walk one day. One day when I get older, I'll do it. Now I was like, heck no, I'm not going to do that. But if you're walking at a good pace, it's about a 3-hour walk. I mean, for us, it probably would be like 4 or 5 hours, right? We got to stop. I need some water. I'm tired, right? But it's about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're walking. And at first, Jesus comes alongside. Now, does he reveal himself to them? He doesn't, right? In fact, the scripture says that they were kept from seeing him or recognizing him, right? And I always thought it was interesting. It's like, why does Jesus kind of do that? Why didn't he just tell them up front, like, I'm here, right? He does that later. If you keep reading, right, keep reading the book of Luke, you'll see that he actually does show up. In fact, in that same chapter, he does to the disciples where they're gathered. But that's the context. Now, you notice that they reference one person. They give one name and not the other, right? I don't know why. I don't know why they said Cleopas and then this other guy's like no-name guy. He'll always be a mystery to us. But I always have to go back. And so he was a follower of Christ. Now, he's not one of the original 11, right? You guys know that? Yeah. And we know that later on because, in fact, in that same passage you just read, it says the 11 were gathered there. Right? It was 12 minus Judas. So now the 11 were still gathered in Jerusalem. And so that's what's going on, right? They're heartbroken. They're confused because remember what they thought as they were coming in. I mean, can you imagine living that and going through that experience? the Sunday prior to that, right? This is Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, where this has happened. The Sunday prior to that was what? Palm Sunday, where they're coming in, thousands of people coming in, everybody saying Hosanna, right? Everybody's coming, putting down their coats to Jesus, and they're thinking, like, this is it. And then for everything to happen. So clearly they're brokenhearted. Clearly they're confused. You thought Jesus was the Messiah. They know he's dead, right? Or so they believed. They were even confused about what had been reported that morning by the women that went to his tomb. And so he shows up and just starts talking to them, right? To me, that's amazing. Now, he could have told them, right? Because this is one of my things, and we'll jump into it. Because one of the things that they initially, right? So let's go through the first key point. And the first key point, number one, is that Jesus walks with us, right? Even though we don't recognize him. Just by the same way that he was walking with them, with Cleopas and the other follower, they hadn't recognized him, but Jesus does that now. Now, that's part of our testimony, right? Because a lot of us, I think most of us, we've had our go through. We've had our go at life without Jesus, right? And I'll tell you what, it's not been great. Amen? It's not been great. And here's the thing, though. Even when we think that God is not there, God is there. Because God is not just sitting on high on a mountaintop like, I'm going to wait till they come. No, we already said that Jesus came, right? The Son of God came down. And if I ask some of you guys about certain things that have happened in your life that you know it was a God thing, even though you weren't walking with God, you all have testimonies about what God has done for your life, where he intervened, where he acted, where, be honest with you, where he even saved your life when you weren't walking with God. Amen? And that's how we know that Jesus is not just absent. God is not just absent. He's walking with us even when we don't recognize it. That's how awesome God is. Even when I was his enemy, even when I was reading the Bible, trying to pick fights with my aunts, God was still walking with me. Isn't that terrible? I'm like, I should be embarrassed that that's why I first started. I've shared my testimony with you guys. I used to read the Bible not because I believed it, because I wanted to prove how fake it was. Terrible, right? And God still had mercy on me. God was still watching out for us. Stephanie and I have a few very close, like near-death experiences even, because God was in the middle of it, protecting us, right? So he walks with us even when we don't recognize it. Because Luke 24, 15 to 16 says, as they walked and discussed these things with their, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside him, but they were kept from recognizing him. And if we're honest, our unbelief, right? Our hardened heart, our sin, right? Keeps us from recognizing what God is doing in our life. And it's funny, isn't it interesting how you talk to different people? As a believer now, you can look back and people will say, oh, I was so lucky. Let me tell you this crazy story. I was so lucky. And we will say, you weren't lucky. God protected you. And they're like, I can't give God credit for that. Has that ever happened to you guys? Yeah, right? And it's not, God is sovereign. It means that he is in control. It means there's no such thing as luck, guys. He's sovereign and he is in control. But for us, we should take comfort in knowing that. Because even when we weren't walking with God, he was right there. Take comfort in knowing right now, right? That you may not always feel like his presence. Because I'll be honest with you, even in your Christian walk, there's some times where you're going to go through storm. There's some times where you're going to go through some struggles. There's some times where you're like, man, where is God in the middle of this? Because I don't feel him right now. But you know what? I say this all the time. God is not about your feelings. Yeah. He's not about how you feel. He's about, God is real. And you know, there's some days where I tell folks, I said, man, sometimes I don't feel like going to work, but I go to work anyway. Does that resonate with some of you guys? And when we walk with God, it's like, you know what? I don't feel like it. I don't see, like, maybe God is, I'm doing all these things. I don't see God. You know what? Get out of the way. God is present. He's there. Do what He's asking you to do. Amen? And so for us, it's just like a reminder that God is always walking with us, even when we don't recognize Him, even when we don't see what He's doing. I'll tell you, sometimes I don't understand God's plan. I wish I knew. I wish God would send me a text message, a little DM me on the side. Hey, this is what's going to happen, but don't get alarmed. I got a bigger plan going for you. God doesn't do that, right? I wish He would. But He doesn't do that. I got to walk by faith. See, they're walking, and they didn't even know they're walking with Jesus. But for us as followers, hey, you may not recognize what God is doing, but He is with you and He's doing something for you, or He's going to use you for His honor, for His glory. We have to trust Him. Amen? I wish He would message me. Well, He does through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit. He whispers. You know? Especially when you're like, psh, hey, don't be doing that. The conviction message is loud and clear. Amen? And thank God for that. But He's walking with us even when we don't recognize this. And the thing about it is that it's funny. They're walking away from Jerusalem where they thought they were going to be triumphant. They're walking away like downhearted. But they didn't know that Jesus had something better in store. Right? They didn't know that He had already resurrected. And so that's our story too. That God might be bringing something to an end because something better. Right? We have to keep walking. They could have stayed in Jerusalem and just like lay down. Right? I'm just going to lay down and die. No, you got to keep walking, right? We need to start the walking with Jesus ministry. We were talking about working out this morning. God is not absent, brothers and sisters. He's always present. He's not the God that creates and just walks away, right? He came down. And that's what we celebrate, right? We celebrate it every Christmas. We celebrate on Easter that He came and that He is here even when we don't see what He's doing. Number two, the second takeaway from today's passage is that Jesus listens to our disappointments. Jesus listens to our disappointments. Because in Luke 24, and this is a bigger passage, 17 to 21, He asks them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And as they sit there, their faces were downcast, and they went on to explain everything that had happened. Now, isn't this interesting? That Jesus could have cut them off and said, because I even chuckle when they're like, are you the only person who doesn't know what's happened around here? I even like do the head nod. Right? I envision like Cleopas saying, are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on? Jesus could have said what? He's like, oh, you mean when I came in on Palm Sunday triumphantly, and when I flipped over the money, the change tables, and kicked out all the sheep, that, or when I broke bread with the disciples, when I washed their feet, when I was betrayed by one of my disciples, when I was mocked and taken through a fake trial, and spit upon, and slapped, and scourged. When I went to the cross, and I hung there, and I gave my life for the forgiveness. You mean that stuff that's been going on? Jesus didn't do that. I think it's interesting. Could have done it, but He wanted to hear them out. And so they went on, and they told Him the whole thing about everything that's going on. Listen, God is sovereign, meaning He already knows all things, yes? He knows your struggle. He knows what you're going through, but He's still waiting. Does that make sense? Because you have to have that conversation with Jesus. He listens to our disappointments. See, Jesus cares about what is going on in your life. Like the two disciples here that were following, they were downcast, brokenhearted. But Jesus wanted to hear them say it. He could have cut them off. He's not like us. We would have said, "I was there," right? That's a message to some of the men in the room. Sometimes just shh, be quiet and listen. Amen. Or as I say, tell my wife, make sure that I'm the whites of my eyes. Even though my ears are big and they're pointing in that direction, I'll be distracted. No? Yeah. Here's the other thing, right? It's having that conversation with Jesus. Why? Because you need to work some things out oftentimes, right? What happens when you speak it into existence? When you give it to God, when you let Him know how you're feeling, whether it's a praise or a disappointment or a hurt or an anger, right? God is working that through you. You need to let Him go. You need to, and here's the other thing too. You can be honest with God. It's not like He doesn't know that you're disappointed. It's not like He doesn't know. He's not surprised. He's like, I didn't know that was happening to you. I was just shocked. He's sovereign. He knows all, but He still wants to hear it from you. Does that make sense? So we have to have that conversation. And listen, oftentimes, you know, I hear this a lot from brothers and sisters. Sometimes they'll say, you know, when I pray, like I feel like I have to have a certain kind of way. I don't pray. I'm not eloquent. I'm not this kind of, that's like, you know what? God's not impressed by all that big talk. If you have any doubt about that, go back and read Matthew chapter 6, where He says, I don't care about all that high puff talk. Just talk to me. I already know. And so sometimes we feel like we can't come to God because it's like, oh, I have to get like, let me clear my, yeah, come with reverence when you talk to God. But sometimes you got to talk to God, and sometimes, you know what, man, it's not going to be the most beautiful prayer. Sometimes you're mad. Yeah? Sometimes you're hurt. Sometimes you have joy. So you know what? God wants you to come to Him no matter what. He's not surprised. He wants you to come to Him when you're brokenhearted, when you're angry, when you're upset, when you had a great day and a bad day, He wants to hear from you. Amen? It's the same way that I want to hear from my kids. I don't care what it's just like. I want to know what's going on, right? God listens to our disappointments. And you know, here's our problem. If we're honest, when we're going through something, our default isn't to go to God first. It's not. We go to who? If you're in the, and especially, and here's the other thing too, right? So if you're kind of, you go through your, who's your advisor? Your compa, right? Your comadre, yeah? Or do you go to God first? Yeah? I'm just saying. And the problem is that's, you know, there's something therapeutic about sharing your hurt and your pain with your friends, with your compa and your comadre. But they can't solve the problem, right? And I've said this jokingly. I listen to Les Brown. He's a motivational speaker. And he'll say, listen, your problem is that if you're not going to God and you're sharing it with other people, half the people, they don't really care. They're just like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And the other half, they say, thank God it's happening to you and not to me. Right? We have to go to God first. Oftentimes, right, depending on what's happening, go to different people because we want them to co-sign on what's going on. Or we already have our mind made up of how you're going to respond. Has that ever happened? You have my mind about how I'm going to respond to this reaction. And you go to the person that you think is going to co-sign that check. Right? Even though you know, you don't want to go to, and some people say, I'm not going to go to that person because they're going to tell me what I don't want to hear. It's not familiar like that? It's easier to go to the person that's going to co-sign that bad check, huh? We got to go to God. We got to go to brothers and sisters that are going to encourage us and walk us through the disappointments of life. Because guess what? We're going to go through them. We all have our go-through. But Paul reminds us in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. You guys are very familiar with this passage where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let all your gentleness be evident to all." And here's what's interesting. He says, "The Lord is near." Just like he was with them on the road to Emmaus, the Lord is near. He's near to us. And it says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen? That means, like, listen, whatever's going on, you got to go talk to God. Give it to God. Yes, there's a time for you to process and talk to your friends and your brothers and sisters, but go to God first. He's the one that actually can do something about it. Amen? Number three, third kind of takeaway we see from this passage is that Jesus points us back to the Word. Jesus points us back to the Word. In Luke 24, 25 to 27, it says, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said, all the scriptures concerning himself." He pointed them back to the Word. This is why I think it's interesting, right? That Jesus didn't reveal himself right away. Because I think he wanted to use this as a, I say, man, isn't Jesus awesome? He's awesome. It wasn't like by accident. Because he wanted to go and say, "Let me tell you all about what's going on," because he knew that Luke was going to write about it. That Jesus is in every chapter of the Old Testament, like he's in every chapter of the New Testament. Amen? And it was an object lesson for us to find out that, listen, Jesus is in the middle of all of it. Jesus is in the middle of all of our pain, of our suffering, of our wins, of our highs, of our lows. Jesus is in all of it. It's his story. He gets the glory. It's not about us. You've heard me say this, but it's not even about this church. It's not even about your family. It's about God. And so he's telling them and he points them back to the Word. Life is confusing, right? Jesus doesn't just offer like comforting words. Because everybody has a phone. You can go and say, "I'm going through this thing." And you can find all kinds of like motivational stuff. Oh, motivational. The problem is that seems good superficially, but when you're really going through it, man, you need God's word in your life. Because that has a power to what? To pierce, even the word says, it says what? The bone and the marrow. Has a power to speak to our hearts in our most broken times. It's good for an encouragement and a pat on the back and motivational and, hey, I'm, you know, whatever text message there. But God's word is the one that comes to restore and makes us right and brings life. Jesus is not just, you know, it's a very practical object lesson that he gives them. He doesn't give them like 10 steps on how to feel better. You're going through a downtime. Here's 6 steps to fix that. All right, how many of you guys follow like all these TikTok things, life hack things, like all these little things that are on, I mean, on social media everywhere, they're everywhere, right? 5 ways to do that, 10 ways to do this, and all that. Does that make sense? Jesus isn't giving that. He says, "Let me walk you through the Word and tell you what's going on." And so it's the same for us. Because listen, right? Whenever we have any questions about what's happening in our life, any challenges, any struggles, any hurts, any pains, the answer is right here. The answer is right here. What does the Bible say, right? About family, about working, about dating, about planning, about your friends, about parenting, about sin, about your insecurities, about fear. And what does it say even about death? Right? It's all right here. But we have to go find it. We have to get into the Word. All of life's problems, right, can be answered through the Scripture. Joshua 1:8 tells us to keep the book of the law always on our lips, to meditate on it day and night, so that you can be be careful to do everything that is written in it, because then you'll be prosperous and successful. Right? Not just the parts that are convenient to you, not just the parts you like, but to do everything that is written in it. And a lot of times we like to say, like, well, that part, that's for somebody else, Jesus, right? That part about forgiving people and washing people's feet and being humble, that's for somebody else. I'm going to skip that one. No me conviene. It says, be careful that you do everything written in it, then you'll be prosperous and successful, right? God is good, and he's given us his blueprint. And the reality of it is, like, listen, how many of you guys struggle? I mean, nobody's going to raise their hand to this one. How many of you guys struggle to get into your word every day? All right, praise God. Some honest people. The rest of you guys are lying, but it's okay. God knows your heart. No, but you have to, I always say, get into what works for you. Right? Get in what works for you. I always say this, my wife, Stephanie, will say, hearing is not your best way of learning. It is. You just have to have my undivided attention. But I have to listen to the Bible. I spend a lot of time looking at asphalt and my windshield going to work. So I listen. And then I listen to the chapter again. Right? There's just different ways. Some of you might be visual. Go on and get the Bible app, right? Get the Bible project. There's multiple ways to engage for you to learn, to get into the Word. You can meditate on it and focus on it and then pray, right? Because I know that you guys memorize things, right? Like, for example, if I play the first two, even just the first two beats of this song, you guys all know it. California Love. Are you guys already heard it in your, you heard it in your head. It's all California Love. And somebody goes like, oh yeah, that's my jam. Some of you guys, see? You know that song. I don't even have to tell you, you guys have the lyrics. Some of you guys started dancing in the hallway already. You will focus on what you, it's like you can meditate, you can memorize it. You just have to repeat it a couple times, right? How about this one? I'm doing this tonight, and you're probably going to want to start a fight. You guys know that song? That's for my wife. It's an NSYNC song. It's Bye Bye Bye. Some of you guys are old school. So if I say this lyric, when I hear music, it makes me dance. Oh, some of you started doing that. That's right. Irene, she was doing a backspin in the back already. She's like, she started pop locking in the back. Oh my gosh. Or some of you guys, right? I don't even have to, you guys already know this song. Tragos de amargo. Oh, you guys are like, oh, what? That's not your Road to Emmaus song. We're talking about the Bible, guys. All sad. You know these things, right? That's not, I'm just using that like to be funny. But yes, you know that you can memorize things. You can get to, you just have to, what is it? Repetition, right? That's your favorite song. Some of us are old enough in here to remember what it was like to buy tapes. You guys remember that? You still, and you know what your favorite, what was your first tape that you bought? Anybody? Rick James? All right. Anybody else? Randall, okay. My first tape that I bought was Boys to Men. I was romantic. My first CD that I bought was also a Boys to Men CD, so, you know. Anyway, you see a theme here, right? You can memorize things. You can. But we have to figure out how is the best way. Oftentimes it is to music. So worship music, that has, you'll notice, it's like, oh, I didn't even know that was a, that was a psalm? Yeah. You know, or again, listen or figure out what's your best way, but meditate on it day and night. Because Jesus points us back to the Word, solution for all of life's problems. And you don't have to listen to me, but I would say you better listen to Jesus. Amen. And lastly, the fourth point in today's message is that Jesus reveals himself to those who invite him in. Jesus reveals himself to those who invite him in. And this is, I think, one of my favorite portions, verses in this chapter. It says, they urged him strongly to stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. This verse. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within when he talked to us about the road, opened the scriptures to us? Isn't that awesome? When you invite Jesus in, he'll stay. He's not going to force himself upon you. You have to invite him in. And secondly, when you get into the scriptures, it says, weren't our hearts on fire when he opened the scriptures to us? See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we get into the word, we may not understand it, but the Holy Spirit will come in and start really bringing that word to life. Amen? Really start to, like, wow. And sometimes in the seasons of your life, you may not even notice, and you're like, man, I read that passage, and the Holy Spirit would just, like, hey, almost like grabs you and say, pay attention. This is for you right now. Ever happened to you? You're like, I didn't even know that was there, but man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you revealed it to me in this season that I'm in. That makes sense? God's word never comes back empty, guys. Jesus reveals himself more deeply when we invite him not just to visit, right, but to stay. That's different. How many of you guys keep Jesus in the trunk of your car? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The Bible's in your trunk, and it only comes out on Sundays, maybe Mondays or Wednesdays. Don't keep Jesus in your trunk. Can you imagine how hot it is in there? Poor Jesus. Jesus says, you wouldn't do that to him, like, physically. Why would we do that? Don't keep Jesus in. He needs to be riding, needs to be driving your car, right? We just like to, when it's convenient, it's like, Jesus, get in the trunk. It's safe for you to come out. It's all like we're undercover Christians, you know? No, he needs to be everywhere we go. Because he reveals himself more deeply when you invite him to stay. There's a reason why I'm wrong today. That I'll make room for you. I would say, not just make room, just make him Lord. That means he owns it all. Not just this little room right here. This is your area. Like my side of the closet. A walk-in closet, but I have like this much room. She's going to make room for Jesus. Make room for my clothes. How about that? Anybody, every man in here is like, what? Amen. No? Oh, I got the look. I'm in trouble, guys. Pray for me. That's right. I'm going to be in the trunk. That's right. Get in the trunk now. Keep it up. Keep talking about. Amen. But when we invite him to stay, right? Not just to join, not just to visit me, but to live with me. Be a part of every part of my life. Walk with me every single day. Right? That's where Jesus really shows up. Not just like lukewarm, like, you know, but really, that's amazing to me. And so, my desire, right, for our church is that we feel the burn of God inside of us. That verse says, turn our hearts on fire for him when we open the scripture. It's my prayer for the church. So in closing, one of the things that we are looking at, one of the takeaways from today's message is that, listen, you're going to go through some tough times, just like the two disciples were going through some tough times. Don't walk away from God at that time. Walk to Him. Walk with Him. Have the conversation with Jesus. Talk to Him about your hurts, your pains, your victories, your highs, your lows. And then listen for His truth in His Word. Stay in the Word. Meditate on it. And then stay close, right? Invite Jesus into a deeper relationship. What's up, Laz? That's right. Isn't he the cutest? That's right. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. And thank you for just the amazing reminder that we have out of Luke 24. Not only that you're risen, but you also appear to the disciples. And you encourage two of these brothers as they're on their way to Emmaus. And for us, it's a reminder, Lord, that you're encouraging us. You walk, come alongside. Even when we don't recognize what you're doing something, Lord God. And you are amazing. And you are a loving God. And so we have to trust you. We have to seek you out in all things, Lord Jesus. But help us to continue to walk in faith with you and towards you. And Lord, that's our prayer this morning, Lord God, that we just stay connected to the Word and invite you in, that you can just be the Lord of our lives. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, some of us today, we need to continue to seek you out. Every single day, all of us need to continue to seek you out. But we know that the life is full of ups and downs. It's full of disappointments, sometimes discouragement. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we feel all alone. But the truth is, what you're revealing to us, Lord Jesus, is that you're walking beside us. And you're wanting to be invited in. You wanted to be asked to stay. So Lord Jesus, right now, all of us, Lord, I pray on behalf of our church, invite you not just to visit, but to stay. To be Lord of our lives. To help us to draw near to you, Lord God, and to your Word. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we could have the oneness and relationship with God the Father through the Son, filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you never give up on us, Lord, even though we fail and sometimes we crash and burn, Lord, and we make mistakes. Your mercy is renewed. Your grace is renewed for us daily. Often minute by minute, it feels like second by second. Thank you, Lord God, that you are good. Lord, it's my prayer that we just continue to seek you out in all things, Lord Jesus. Father God, will you pour your hand and have a blessing over our families, over our kids, over our nieces and nephews, over our grandparents, over our friends, Lord. And Lord, I'm going to pray right now, Lord, I just pray that you continue to be and walk alongside our brothers and sisters, our families, Lord, that aren't walking with you. Lord, will you protect them? And I pray, Lord God, for a God appointment, Lord, where you, well, they will see who you are, where you will light a fire on their heart, Lord God. Nothing is more important, Lord God, than the free gift of salvation that you give. And Lord Jesus, we believe that you died for forgiveness of our sins and that you're again. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And so it's our prayer, Lord God, that you help us to share the good news of who you are. Share the good news and the hope and that you are the hope of the world. You're the hope of our families. You're the hope of our church. Thank you again, Lord God. We ask you to continue to stay with us. Keep our eyes open, Lord God, to see you more clearly, to focus and, Lord, help us to get rid of some of the distractions in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to prune out even relationships that are unfruitful, Lord God, that are like weeds in our life. Not because we think that we're better than God, but your word tells us, Lord God, you came to divide even. So we can focus on our relationship with you, and then we can go back, Lord God, and testify and share your goodness and strength, Lord, and win more people for you. Lord, help us just to put you first in all things. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are always near. Thank you, Lord God, that you are alive and you're seated at the right hand of the Father and that you're interceding on our behalf. Watch over us, guide us, Lord, continue to strengthen our walk in our relationship with you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name.